Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris. We're talking about mental health today. It's a beautiful, beautiful Bondi morning. I'm down on the beach, walking along. There's ocean skis and goodness knows what everywhere. Rain is coming in about 2 hours, and it's going to be heavy, I hear. So it's funny. Right now, blue skies, a little bit of dark cloud on the horizon. You wouldn't think in a million years it would be going to rain, but it is. Mental health. Let's talk about this from a wisdom point of view. Look, there are three things, really simple, we need for mental health. Something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. However, that's really easy. However, let's talk about each of the three of them in sequence and see what actually mental health really means and why mental health goes a bit awry. Let's start off with the easiest one, someone to love. When a young person, 15 years old, starts going to school, they get the idea that there's love in the air, there's love in the world, and they get the idea that that is another kid, a person. They've been taught, they feel the love for their parents, they've been taught that love is an individualized experience. You love your mum, you love your dad, you love your brother. You don't always love people you like, but you don't always like people you love. They've learnt that. And so they've learnt the ability to have the experience, the emotional experience, the elation of feeling love. The problem comes when the target of that love moves. If you love a parent and they die, or you love a boyfriend or girlfriend, and they don't love you back. The problem comes when the target moves. Then we start to behave in ways to make the target not move. In other words, we distort ourselves in order to cause other people to like us more. And there begins the beginning of an extortionary, extraordinary, terrible path of mental health problem. Because we start distorting reality, distorting ourselves, in order to fit into a package that another person finds attractive. The less attractive they find it, the more we distort. And the parents typically encourage this distortion through behavioral modification and discipline at home. In other words, the child will say, if I'm not loved, or somebody doesn't love me, there must be ultimately something wrong with me. And therefore they start modifying themselves, and that becomes mental health. They end up getting an eating disorder. They end up being good or bad. They end up trying to seek attention. And if they ultimately do get rejected, if they fail in the pursuit of somebody's love, that brands and scars them for the future, and they might even try extra hard next time to be liked, or move that affection towards a peer, a friend, and ask that friend to like them and love them rather than a boyfriend or girlfriend. This distortion leads to adulthood, and it ultimately leads to mental health breakdown, addictions, whatever. Let's talk about the second one, something to do. Well, the easiest and the most profound thing to do for a kid in this day and age is something to do with the virtual reality of an internet site. And that internet site or app or chat box or TikTok provides something to do that's profoundly easy to give a sense of fulfillment. And in that way, it's fantastic, because if fulfillment is so easy to achieve through the use of an app or the use of an iPad, then something to do becomes a no-brainer. However, the games and the activities and the people in that something to do offer feedback. You win or lose, you gain or loss, you perform or you don't perform. And so there's something associated with the like and dislike. Someone to love, the first one we talked about, gets tangled up in the something to do. And in the pure sense, something to do is to be occupied, to be like wash the dishes, sweep the floor, make your bed, do your homework. But not to do it just to do it. It means really immersed and excited and enthusiastic about it. And it's really, in a privileged world, it's really easy for a child to start saying, I like and I don't like doing this, and have the privilege of choosing to not like doing some things but still have to do them, such as their homework, to like doing other things such as watching the iPad, where the feedback is momentary and the gratification is instantaneous. And so something to do is the process of learning to delay gratification in some form or another. It's not necessarily permanently delayed like a monk. It's how to do something that you don't necessarily want to do but you need to do, something that you don't want to do but you need to do, something that you really know you've got to do but you don't necessarily like it, and how to engage in that with a wholeheartedness, how to do something wholeheartedly, even though you would, if you had freedom and a butler, you would choose not to do it. That process of teaching a child or teaching a human being or an adult of how to engage and be excited or be enthusiastic about something, even though they don't necessarily like what they're doing, ultimately leads to the workplace. And in the workplace, we know that even if you're an entrepreneur and own your own business and do what you love and love what you do and have everything going perfectly, 50% of the things you do will be a task, a chore, a thing that's got to be done, whether it's, even if it's just getting some exercise in the morning like I am out here today, or making a good lunch and taking a break, or standing up and walking away. Some of the things of being an entrepreneur or even an employee or even a senior executive, even really well paid executive, some of the things are chores. And the thing will be, if those chores make you grumpy, you're going to have mental health problems. They're going to induce stress, because you meet people who are stressed and exhausted. They call it burnout, but all they're doing is sitting at a desk. All they're doing is sitting at a desk all day, and yet there's a thing called burnout, which is physiological. So their physical state gets wrecked, their health goes down, their mind goes down, but what are they doing? They're staring at a computer or they're sitting at a desk. And so what we can say from that person, their mental health problem, has come from the inability to cause a chore to become something they're enthusiastic to do. And that's just a mind game that we need to learn very young, otherwise we have mental health problems. So something to do is not as simple as it sounds, but otherwise we leave people to just go toward everything that's instantaneously gratifying, alcohol or sugar or a coffee or whatever is instantaneously gratifying, and not be thinking long term about what they're doing. And the only way to think long-term about what you're doing is to make sure whatever you're doing, you're enthusiastic to do. It's not a chore. The last one is my king of all things on earth. And that is something to look forward to. Now, whether that's the next 10 minutes or the next 10 years. It's not as important as you might think. When I work with First Nation people in Canada, I have kids that will take their life, even though the opportunities they've been offered and the support they've been offered is absolutely second to none. And the reason they'll do that, the reason they're willing to do that, is they can't imagine the next hour being any better than the last hour. Their time window has shrunk so small. They're not talking about next year, they're not talking about next month, they're not talking about their lifetime, not talking about next week, not talking about tomorrow, they're talking about the next hour of their life. And they will take their life for that. Now, 90% of those people taking their life have done so triggered by a relationship break or something going pear-shaped in their relationships. And typically the relationship, even for a 12-year-old kid, is with someone they love, someone they think they love. And that think they love becomes a physical experience. In other words, they have intimacy very young with a 12-year-old and a 13 or 14-year-old. They're having sexual connection, which is gratifying. And so they're getting instantaneous gratification. So they're, if you think about the three, someone to love, something to look forward to, and something to do, it's all become instantaneous that when you say delay it or shift and do something that is a chore, shift and do something that they can't. And so they gravitate towards a dependency on something instantaneous for all three. Sexual connection with someone. And when that happens and it's available and then it breaks, everything's gone. There's nothing to do, no one to love, and nothing to look forward to. My antidote for this, for these three, is really simple. I go to the first one first, someone to love. I teach the love of nature because I believe a human being comes from nature. And therefore, I think to teach kids early that nature is the source, rather than a god or a universe that they can't touch, that the love of nature, the actual ability to love a cat, a dog, a tree, a mouse, a rabbit, a ferret, or whatever it is, the ability to love something and eventually release it because it will die, but the ability to love nature is transact into the ability to love a person, rather than the other way around, the ability to love a person teaching me how to love nature. Nature is the source. The universe is the source of nature, and by loving nature, you love the source. And then you can love people who are the source of nature and who are nature's source. So from nature come people. And I think to teach this lineage to kids and to people is the absolute antidote to the mental health problems that come from someone to love. And therefore, you don't love a someone, you love the derivative of something. You love the derivative of nature is someone. If that someone moves or shifts or goes away or isn't there, you've still got nature. Nature never goes away. So it's a permanent fixture. And so that reconciles any doubt around the topic of mental health from someone to love. Something to do. I honestly believe that the most profound thing you can teach any human being is to get outdoors under nature. I believe that the something to do, like rake the leaves, feed the cat, prune the leaves, walk the beach, swim the ocean, surf the surfboard, ride the bike, something to do can be so simply derived from the outdoors rather than the iPad, because the outdoors is a variable that never changes. And that's an oxymoron in a way, a variable that never changes. But the outdoors is always there and it's always available no matter what happens. And the dependency on the outdoors for mental health is an absolutely gold-plated, rock-solid process. Because why? It's always there. And what's happening more and more to adults and children in the world is they're becoming confined to indoors as a source of their mental health. They're using the TV and the computer and meditation and yoga classes and offices and laptops and God knows, and mobile phones as a source of mental health. But all of those things are breakable. All of those things offer a feedback which is in itself disruptive. It's disturbing. The electricity, the content, the environment, all of those things of a digital device and what have you, the environment, the stimulation, the electricity, you name it, all of the things are toxic. So as long as the instrument feeds back what the person wants, they can be healthy, but it won't stay that way. Plus the environment in which the person's observing the device is always indoors. It's rarely in the arms of nature. And when it's outdoors, that person can be in nature, but not even witness that they're in nature. Like I'm standing here now looking at the ocean, talking to you with a microphone pinned to my shirt, observing the world around me. And yes, my verbal is connecting to you on this podcast, but every sense of my body is engaged in the feeling of the sun, the wind, the ocean, the sounds. And so therefore I'm talking to you from my sixth sense, not my fifth sense. So that's my solution to number two. Number three, something to look forward to. That's where you need a coach. And if we can get the first two right, I think the third one we can really work hard on. The third one, something to look forward to. We need to extract from that appetite to look forward to tomorrow. We need to extract both the short-term and the long-term gratification from it. Short-term gratification is, what am I going to do today and how do I enjoy that? How do I look forward to what I'm going to do tomorrow? We call it the Madonna process, where you take every single thing that's on your list tomorrow and you take every single thing that's on your list to do tomorrow and you think about it in terms of the things you'd love to do tomorrow and you change how you see what you're about to do tomorrow to link to what you'd love to do. In other words, if you've got a meeting with your accountant or you've got your tax papers to do or something like that, you go, I'm not looking forward to it, that's a red flag. So then you go, by doing my tax papers, I get my finances clear, I get a clear head and I'm able to open my heart and love my family more. And you go, okay, now I've linked it, so I can link it or sink it. That's the first step. And that's called moving your got-tos to love-tos. The second step is to have what's called a vivid imagination. Now, when I was at high school, I used to get in a lot of trouble from my teachers for daydreaming. But what I found out later on was that's the perfect antidote to mental health. So when you have short-term ingratification, when I had as a kid a pretty tough home, a pretty tough world, and I'd grown up without much, comfort, I found my solace in my daydreaming, in my imagination. And what I've come to understand now from studying Zen and yoga and Buddhism and Hinduism, I've come to study the workings of the human mind, is to understand that imagination is the root source of mental health. Now, there's a danger. And I mention this frequently to people. The danger is getting fantasy confused with imagination. When I imagine something, as long as it's in alignment with nature's laws, in other words, it can happen, no matter how big it is, I can imagine being the President of the United States. There you go, I can imagine that. And I have no problem imagining that. That's an imagination. That's a vivid imagination. That's a daydream I can have. President of the United States, most powerful person on the planet. I can imagine that. But if I imagine myself in the luxury of being the President of the United States, having the glory without the the glory without the problem, the glamour without the goo. If I imagine something where it's all pleasure without pain, I'm imagining a fantasy. And the only place those exist is in Disneyland. But even people who go to Disneyland realize the long queues and the disgusting food and the complaining children and the grumpy other people make it really important in Disneyland to focus on the good news, not the bad. And so we know that daydreaming and imagination is a really critical part of human nature, and therefore it's a really big part of coaching to help you extrapolate your imagination out to the wildest possible dreams without flipping them into a fantasy that's going to cause depression. Now, without something to look forward to, there is a big problem of mental health. With something to look forward to, there can be the mistake of going to fantasy, which is another problem for mental health. So something to do, something to look, something to do, someone to love, and someone to look, something to look forward to. Three simple statements, but they come loaded with the opportunity for causing more problems than you had when you started. So just to be clear, something to do, get out in nature, do something environmental, throw a ball against the wall for all that matters, something to do, prune a tree, mow a lawn, walk the forest, do something, something to do, admire nature, take a photo, someone to love, love nature, love the source, the nature is, it comes from the universe, and human beings come from nature. So love the lineage so that you, the kid and you don't get caught up loving a person as the source of your love. They are one of the elements that come from nature that you are respecting in your life. And something to look forward to, short-term gratification, very important. Do the short-term things, the got-tos. Even when there's no gratification, you can do link it or sink it. Move your got-tos to love-tos. And in, when it comes to the long-term, make sure that you don't get vision mixed up with fantasy. Imagination is one thing, fantasy is another. Separating out emotion, that's the only reason we would want to know the difference between an emotion and truth, so that we can have a vivid imagination and therefore perfect mental health in the process of living our lives. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Any questions, please ask.